This is Jeremy Rusko of Dynamic Discs, encouraging you to get out, get active, and play disc golf. And thank you for shopping local and making Emporia the disc golf capital of the world.
Trox Gallery and Gifts proudly represents over 80 local artists and carries a wide variety of hand-picked gift items. You're sure to find a lifelong treasure when you shop Emporia first at Trox Gallery and Gifts.
This is Chris Britton with Thompson Brake and Alignment. Stop by our shop at 2104 West 6th Avenue. Thank you for shopping Emporia first.
Spend it here, keep it here. Shop Emporia first.
KVOE, 1400 AM and 96.9 FM. Live and local. This is Newsmaker 2.
It's all about your health, your good health. Food, drink, exercise, recipes, all sprinkled with common sense. Welcome to the KVOE studios. Emporia State Health and Human Performance Professor, Dr. Jennifer Thomas.
You know, it's been so long, and I about forgot where the button was there, Dr. J.
There it is.
There it is. It's still there. Well, welcome to the studios. Good to have you here.
It is so good to be back.
Wow, we're excited. We're excited to have you here.
I'm excited.
And we're looking at having Dr. Jen in on a monthly basis again. We're looking at, the third Monday of every month, something like that?
Yep, going to shoot for that. It'll be spring break before we know it.
Yeah, I know, just off of winter break. So how you been?
Been great. Very, very busy.
Yes, you have been.
Yes, but in a good way. So keeping that stress minimized as much as possible and trying to do some good. And
well, yeah, you know, it's been quite a while since, you know, we've had you in here, basically starting with the COVID issue we had. So that kind of lit the fuse.
Yeah, a little spotty after that.
For what we had, but we are now good to go and revved up and ready, and we're excited to have Dr. Jen. So thanks again for coming in here. Always great to have you. We learn a lot. We have over the years, and you keep us on point for a number of different health related topics. And I was really, really giddy, and I was giddy when you sent me the topic that we were going to touch on today, because it involves red meat.
Hey, there you go.
I know the two of you. I know your love language.
Yeah,
red meat.
Red meat is good, and in the past. we have touched on this topic, and, you know, in some areas there hasn't been, you know, a real positive light shed. I mean, you were bringing up some of the issues that red meat, in some ways, not good, especially in excess.
Mm-hmm.
But we're looking like we're going to be taking a different tact today.
Yes. And there have always, just to be fair, there have always been benefits to red meat. And I do have, now I've got to encourage everybody to start checking out the handouts again, but the one that kind of looks like an infographic and it says the health benefits of red meat, we've always known, good source of iron, you know, so it can help with that, and has all of the amino acids. So, you know, my students and other people that I know that especially bodybuild or just are even trying to build muscle, meat's always been, red meat has always been their friend. So it's a good source of a lot of vitamins and minerals, and any rancher will kind of remind you of that. So the issue in the past has always been they were concerned about how often someone consumed it, the fattier cuts, you know, and that is something I would still tell people to be wise in terms of the types of cuts that you choose. You got to love when this was back in November, it was right before the holidays.
So recent,
And this headline came across my desk, and I was like, shoddy research, S-H-O-D-D-Y. You don't hear that word, you know, very often. And it says, red meat, not a health risk. New study slams years of shoddy research.
Yeah, shoddy, lazy. I mean,
not good.
Substandard, subpar.
Substandard, yes. And so I was like, oh boy, here we go. Buckle up. And so I started to read it, and to be honest, and you got to be careful in the health field, you know, what you question, and for the most part, we're supposed to go with a lot of what the experts say, but this expert, these experts came out and said a lot of this research was just done irresponsibly. And over the years I had always wondered, well, okay, so you're looking at people's meat consumption and then any diseases that they develop, but what about their other habits? you know, what are they, what else are they eating? Are they exercising? What's their tobacco use? What's their sleep? You know, we talk about that a lot, that it's very hard with most health issues, especially nutrition-related ones, to prove causation. A lot of times, you know, oh, there's a correlation there, and but it's difficult to prove causation, and the researchers basically, it seems, jumped to that a little too quickly and then just kind of clung to it for many years. But again, I encourage people to go on the KVOE website and look this up. But it says studies have been linking red meat consumption to health problems like heart disease, stroke, and cancer for years. But nestled in the recesses, the crevices of those published papers are notable limitations. Nearly all the research is observational, unable to tease out causation convincingly. So what I just said, it said most are plagued by confounding variables. For example, perhaps meat eaters simply eat fewer vegetables, maybe use tobacco, or exercise less than others. Moreover, many are based on self-reported consumption. The simple fact that people can't remember what they eat, it says with any accuracy, I would say they don't remember what they eat with a whole lot of accuracy. And lastly, the reported effect sizes in these scientific papers are often small. In other words, is a supposed 15% greater risk of, you know, cancer, heart disease, whatever, really worth worrying about? And, you know, some people might argue yes. And to that, I would say, well, there's not going to be any harm in continuing to, you know, some people don't eat meat at all.
Yeah.
And that's great. And we all know the benefits of a plant-based diet. We've talked about that on here. What we're more concerned about is those people who have, you know, forbidden themselves, you know, from eating it or shied away from that. And they really maybe don't have to, again, especially if they go with leaner, you know, smarter cuts and types of meat, which we can get to the there's so many options besides just cattle. You know, there's a lot of other options. So, but for those who are wondering, well, who did this? You know, who figured this out? It says in a new unprecedented effort, scientists at the University of Washington's Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation, so there's your source, scrutinized decades of research on meat consumption and its links to various health outcomes, formulating a new rating system to communicate health risks in the process. So there's more issues that are going to be affected by this than just red meat. They're basically coming up with a whole new system here. Their findings mostly dispel any concerns about eating red meat. We found weak evidence of association between unprocessed. Now, that's something I want to talk about because the key here is unprocessed is what they focused on. Red meat consumption and colorectal cancer, and that's the type of cancer they were always really, really focused on. Breast cancer, type 2 diabetes, and ischemic heart disease. Moreover, we found no evidence of an association between unprocessed red meat and any type of stroke, basically. So so this is good news, again, for those who like their steaks, you know. And there's so many different kinds of steaks and ribeyes and all the different parts of that animal. But what this does not look at and what we are not telling people, oh, don't worry about it anymore, is the processed red meats. We've talked over the years about hot dogs, salami, all of your kind of questionable, where they throw a lot of other stuff in there, and then they cure it, they put preservatives in there. That's not good. And, you know, I'm sure they'll continue to study and restudy a lot of things as a result of that, but I am not comfortable telling people, yeah, don't worry about the salami and the hot dogs and all that, because that's a whole different topic. But again, we're focusing right now on those who like
unprocessed.
Yep, where they just cut up that animal and, you know,
straight
package
raw
it.
Meat.
And yes. And that's another thing that I've told people through the years is we're very blessed here. Most of us that live in this area, in this region, have access to, getting that meat direct from the people that fed that animal, took care of it, grew it, you know, got it ready, and then get it to our dinner table.
Yeah, it's we're very fortunate on that front, and you bring up a good point that, you know, the processed and unprocessed, that's a big difference right there that people need to keep in mind. But, you know, you look at, you know, hamburgers, you know, a burger is one thing, but when you put the cheese on and the mayonnaise on,
pickle. The pickle's good. I'm going to throw that out there.
Can't argue that.
But that takes the burger over the top a little bit.
Yeah, you always want to be careful on, you know, and we say that about so much stuff. Your coffee, what all are you dumping in there? Your salad, what all are you dumping on there, you know? So, yeah, that people still want and need to be smart about that. But going back to that previous statement, eat vegetables with your steak, you know, and that side of asparagus, that side of green beans, the potatoes, you know, those have benefits. And so, again, you don't want we're not telling anybody to just live on meat alone. And again, to not be smart about other choices, because we know those do matter.
Yeah, I'll get these handouts posted here this morning on our website. We'll have it, of course, the Dr. Jen program will be available in our audio vault, too, for you to listen to at your convenience. Interesting on the handout, too, that's basically what you're saying is the evidence for direct vascular or health risk from eating meat regularly is very low, the point that there's probably no risk, and that's according to, I love this.
I know, his title. Yes.
Dr. Jen, go ahead. Tell us this guy's title.
He's from Yale. Dr. Stephen Novella, a Yale neurologist and president of the New England Skeptical Society. I'm like, I want to be the vice president of that. Yeah. The New England Skeptical Society. But, you know, but it is. It's a responsibility of researchers to be skeptical. You know, you can say you prove something, but that's why so many studies are replicated. You know, so, hey, well, they think they've proven this. Let's see and let's continue to try to do that. So you got to admire that. But yeah, he said very low to the point where there is probably no risk. And again, he says there's, however, more evidence for health risk from eating too few vegetables. So that's not going to be great news to a lot of people. But we've talked on here before. There are so many ways to eat vegetables. Oh, maybe we can cover that again, sometime. But, you know, a lot of people think, oh, a can of corn, a can of green beans. And we've talked on here, you know, the fresh and doing them on the grill. And, you know, there's so many good ways to make vegetables tasty and appealing to where you're not having to force yourself to eat them.
I'll tell you what, if you can get me to eat Brussels sprouts, and that has been accomplished during a certain way to cook them now, I mean, I have no problem with that.
Radius, that's really good Brussels sprouts. I'm like, can you cook these for me every day? Because when I make them, I don't really care for them. But, yeah, there's all sorts of different ways to prepare vegetables and mix them, you know, with and in other things. And you know, I've got my youngest, my 12-year-old, who is Mr. Picky Pants, is his nickname. And, you know, he has spinach every day. He doesn't know it because I put it in his smoothie.
Oh, wow.
He has baby spinach every morning, and it's just blended on up in there. So, yeah, there's a lot of ways to work those vegetables in. We know, you know, how protective fruits and vegetables are. So, want people to continue doing that. The other thing, and if we want to jump to the wild game meats handout, but the other thing is, you know, whether, and some people really do, they love their steaks, and you know, around here, beef and pork are the two big, you know, meats that are consumed, but there are so many other options, and those hunters are well aware of this, and but there's a lot of other options that are not only taste really good, and the thing I like about this handout, it breaks down the nutrition. So they're also really, really good in terms of protein. And this does not break down. I'm sure it's easy to find, but vitamins and minerals as well, just like the red meat. So in our house, we eat a ton of goose, especially over the last.
Oh, do you?
And my husband laughed because I showed him this, and he's like, snow goose? I didn't even know people ate snow goose. And yet regular geese, like we have flying around here all the time, you know, it's not on here, but he goes, I would guess that it's pretty similar in terms of the nutritional value. But my husband, when he brings home the geese that he gets when hunting, he cooks them up, and they are very, very comparable to a filet that you know, filet mignon that you would order at a restaurant.
Really?
And so, yeah. The texture, the flavor, very, very, he does wrap them in bacon. There you go, you two.
There we go.
Right. He
okay.
wraps them in bacon to cook them. I then take that bacon off and toss it aside. But it locks in the juices, and it does add good flavor to that. So goose is big at our house. They have mallard on here. My husband gets mallards. He gets quail, I know, pheasant, all sorts of the different. Basically, if it flies, he brings it home for us to eat. So,
you got wild turkey on here, and
yeah.
elk, and bison, and
yes.
antelope.
Yeah.
And it looks like, you know, with this wild game meats, the fat content is very low.
Low, very low. And so that's another and that's why I really, really wanted to put this out there, because some people with red meat, you know, it can be a little fattier. Again, it does depend on the cuts you choose. So if that's a concern, there's lots of other options for, quote, red meat. And so I would encourage people to try them out. You might have to make friends with a hunter if you don't do that yourself. But there are certain stores that carry that as well.
Well, and when you become friends with this hunter, make sure that you get the recipes and how to cook the wild game.
Ooh,
because
good point.
The cooking is a big part of making wild game not taste like wild game.
Yes. Yeah. And deer's the one that a lot of people like because it's so comparable to hamburger.
Yeah.
And so that's a good way to kind of start with an alternative. But yeah, there's lots of, I always tell people, Google is amazing. You know, Google how to cook, you know, jackrabbit. And I have a friend who has three little boys that he goes and he hunts jackrabbits and he posts pictures of what they cook. And I'm like, well, it
really?
Looks delicious. Yes. And oh my gosh, he's amazing. So Skylar Delmont, he's an arborist.
Okay.
Yes. And so I need
Skylar
to give him
a number of times.
Okay.
There.
Yes. Yeah. And he is full of all sorts of skills and information. But that's one of his skills. Is getting those animals and a lot of them that kind of overpopulate certain areas, and that's what hunters will tell you, is it helps keep certain populations in check, and then it's good nutrition for us humans.
Well,
so.
And I see you have squirrel on the chart here, too.
I have never had squirrel. I'm not sure I ever will.
Nor have I.
But there are certain cultures where that's, you know, they're so tiny. I'm like, how much meat can that possibly give you? But they are an edible option. Let's
leave
it
at that.
I don't think I've ever had alligator either, but I'm sure in certain parts of the country where that's.
I think down south I have in a restaurant before.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. But,
it was quite good.
Yeah. Tastes like chicken? No.
Kind of, yeah.
I had to
go with that one.
Out there, yeah. But, and again, they've got to keep those animals in check, you know, so if they provide nutrition, there you go.
Well, and the hunters have, you know, they've been at this for so long, and and they come up with great recipes, and they cook these in such a way that they really taste good.
Absolutely.
So, but if you have someone that does not know what they're doing, not good. Not good at all.
No.
You look at deer meat, jerky is a big popular.
Yep. Yes, deer jerky. They can do jerky, I believe, with elk and antelope as well,
sausage,
maybe.
That's good.
And I just realized dove's on here. Dove, that's one of the first ones that my husband, I go by the seasons. What is he killing this week? But dovey nuggets, he cooks those up.
Wow.
And yeah, that's the best way, you know, to kind of prepare that to where it's appealing. So, yeah. I really encourage people to look into this because, again, there's so many options out there, good source of protein, good sustenance, and it's worth giving a try.
Red meat, good. Red meat, good. I will say this. We're on the topic of vegetables. I was at a luncheon last week out of town, and the best part of my lunch meal was the asparagus.
Oh,
there you go.
Yes.
Three big spears.
Yes.
Now, that's not saying a lot about the main course.
Right. The chicken was dry, so.
But the asparagus was really good.
And asparagus is kind of tricky, too, because it does not take much to royally ruin asparagus.
Exactly, because you overcook it. It's all droopy and mushy.
Oh,
and yes. Yeah. So you want to know what you're doing. But I have a current student who's, we were talking on the very first day of class about habits, and she goes, I eat asparagus all the time, but it's wrapped in bacon. I was like, oh, yes. So, yeah, there you go. But it's still asparagus.
It's still asparagus.
Still good for you.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Thumbs up Well, a half thumb up, I guess. We look at that. Yeah, so that is good information. And again, I'll get this posted on our website, and we can and people look at this. Interesting to take a peek, because you probably don't hear much about, you know, the red meat and the positiveness
right.
after years of you know, making sure you're watching what you do as far as your red meat intake.
Yeah. Well, maybe this will get some researchers to look at other things as well. You know, that's, again, that's a responsibility that we have. And a lot of people might not like when, I think a lot of people will like this, but, you know, some people may not like when something changes. But bottom line, that's the responsibility that comes with scientific research. If it changes, you got to acknowledge that and move on. So
great topic to kick off 2023. And we can't let you go, Dr. Jen, without... throwing out a save the date for us here.
Oh, yes. Tuesday, April 18th is laps for Landon. He just turned 16. Landon Doty turned 16.
Way.
That's amazing.
I know. I'm like, he's getting older. I'm not. But, but oh, wait, I am. But, yeah, he turned 16 last week on the 19th, and sophomore now. He is super into football, and I have to acknowledge this, he's into powerlifting. So my students think that is pretty cool, because a lot of them do that or train people that do that. So he's a power lifter and working on that strength. He is one strong dude in more than one way. He is one strong guy. And, you know, cystic fibrosis, I was telling my students the other day, when I first started doing this event, it was right around 35, 36, 37 was the life expectancy. It is now up to 44.
That's significant.
And yes, it is significant. Still lower, obviously, than what we would want. But wow, just the jump that's made due to different treatments that are being developed. And so it's exciting. It's exciting for us to, as we continue to do this event year after year, to see that it is it's making a difference.
So how many years of laps for Landon will this be, Dr.
Jen? So this is, well, we're calling it the 16th year, even though that first year when he was born, you know, it wasn't technically for the CF Foundation yet, but we have done an event for him literally every year since he was born, and they weren't sure what was wrong. He was just in the hospital. Yeah. They were trying to figure out what was wrong. So we've done an event every year. So this is technically year 16.
So as of right now, formatically, things are going to be the same?
Yeah,
what are you looking
I'll get
at?
Back to you with the details. Where, and weather always plays such a factor. It will be at ESU.
Okay,
this much
good.
We know. But whether it's the student rec, Welch, you know, just somewhere around there is to be determined. We are getting, I met with all of the athletic coaches last week. They are wonderful, just so supportive. Of course, a lot of their majors are in our program.
Yeah.
But we're going to really get, the athletes have always been involved. To some extent, the last few years they've not 2020. The last couple of years they've ramped it up. Last year was amazing, but Landon is very into that, and his friends are all start. You know, his friends are all teenagers, and they're starting to show up. And that's what you know. They don't do the bouncy house anymore. You know what I'm saying? So they want to play with the athletes, and so I talked with the coaches, and they were all on board. They're like, yeah, we'll encourage all of the different athletes involved in all the different sports to attend. So I think it's going to be. Big.
Well, and it's been such a successful event over the years.
Yeah.
How much money have you raised? Have you
oh, my goodness. I would have to go back. But last year's class, because typically $7,000 to $8,000, was the very typical amount, which is great. And the CF Foundation appreciates whatever we raise. Last year's class was huge. I had 40 of them in there. And they set a goal to raise $10,000. And I was like, okay. You know, I was like, all right. And they ended up raising 13.
Wow.
So, yeah, I almost feel sorry for this year's class.
Yeah.
But I always tell them, whatever we raise, it makes a difference. So, but we know, I mean, years ago, we knew we hit 100,000 total. So
yeah,
it's
great.
way over that. And yeah, Foundation just really appreciates what my students do and then our community for supporting that event and the families, because it's more than just Landon. There's other kids locally that have it. Just appreciate our whole community coming out and supporting that.
Well, and you hear that progress is being made and money going to the CF Foundation. You're contributing to the significance of the progress they're making.
Yeah, goes to studying for treatments. CF, because it's a relatively rare disease and it's genetic. You know, it just doesn't get the funding that cancer and a lot of the other diseases get. So we got to raise it ourselves.
Well, we'll be there. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, Dr. Jen, thanks a bunch.
Yes.
Good to see you.
Yes. Everybody stay warm.
Yeah. If people have any topics, go ahead and get a hold of us here, and we'll get it to Dr. Jen, and we'll make sure we can touch on that. But great to have you back. Appreciate it, Dr. Jen.
Yes. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Dr. Jennifer Thomas, Health and Human Performance Professor, Emporia State, with her monthly visit here at KVOE. It is 8:48. Now the headlines from ABC.
In addition to the 10 people who were killed in the Los Angeles area dance hall shooting over the weekend, another 10 were wounded. ABC's Matt Rivers is outside a hospital where several of them were taken.
This is a level 1 trauma center here at the LA County USC Medical Center, which means